The message that Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans back in those days, and it's this: "And because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ. We all are joined to each other as different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it and according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to teach, if it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do this cheerfully." Very strong words to the Christians back in those days. But guess what, my brothers and sisters? Today is the same message for all of us. When I read this book,
I'm going to use that gift. I mean, if it was a ball, I would have played with it. If it was a video game, I would have tried it out. If it was a piece of clothing, I probably would have worn it. But an umbrella? You can't play with an umbrella when you're 11-year-old. I knew what we were going to do with it. We had plenty of umbrellas. We didn't need another one. What we were going to do is we were going to stuff it in a closet, and it was never going to be seen again. And even at that very young age, I knew that gift was a problem because I did not know how I was going to use that gift. Last week, we began a two-part series about spiritual gifts entitled Gifts of Grace. And we continue that series today. And I mentioned last week that God has given each one of us a gift. He's wrapped it up in TCU purple paper, put a bow on it from the Spirit of God, and he's rung our doorbell, and he said, "Here, I want to give this to you. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We haven't worked for it. It is a gift of grace. God has poured out his grace into our hearts, and one way he's done it is he's given us gifts, spiritual gifts. And we mentioned that last week God has given us this gift to empower us and to enable us so that we can be a servant for him, so we can serve the church, and then we can also be a part of God's work in the world. And our job as believers is to receive this gift well, to receive it well, to tear off the paper, rip off the bow, to look inside of what God has given us and to get it out and to use it for his glory. But what do you do when you look inside that box and you find out that the gift that God has given you is an umbrella? A gift that maybe you don't really want. A gift that's not very exciting. A gift that you're not exactly sure how you're going to use. And maybe you've had that experience where God has gifted you with a skill or a talent or ability and you don't know exactly how to use it for his glory. You don't even really want to have that skill or talent. Or maybe God has given you a calling to a certain ministry area and you really don't want that calling. You really don't want to participate in that ministry area. Or maybe God has given you an opportunity to serve him in a very special way and you don't want that opportunity. You don't want that chance. What do you do then? How do we make sure that we take whatever gift or gifts that God has given us and we receive them well and we use them well, no matter what gift that may be? I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I mentioned last week that there are four main texts that emphasize spiritual gifts. There's Ephesians chapter 4, which we looked at a little bit last week. There's 1 Corinthians 12, and there's 1 Peter chapter 4, and then there's Romans 12. And Romans 12 is what I want us to look at this morning, because I think in this text, Paul gives us some insights into how to use gifts of grace well. He offers us a little bit of theology that I think can really help us think through spiritual gifts and to make sure we're using the gifts that we have in a right way. The first thing that he says in talking about spiritual gifts, he talks about humility. Humility. Listen to what Paul says starting in Romans 12, verse 3. He says, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. He's starting off this section where he's going to be talking about gifts of grace. And how does he begin? He begins by talking about humility. Before we start talking about all the different gifts that there are, I want to talk about, Paul says, humility. I want to make sure that you are viewing yourself not more highly than you ought, but with a sober mind and with sober judgment. Now, why is Paul doing that? Because I think Paul understands that whenever we start talking about gifts of grace and spiritual gifts and different kinds of gifts, there is a temptation to start to take pride in our gifts. Take pride in the gifts that God has given us. You know, God does not distribute gifts equally. Did you know that? We don't all have the same gift. We don't even all have the same number of gifts. And there are some gifts that God gives that are very prominent, and they're very public, and they're upfront gifts. And then there are some gifts that God gives that are not. They're behind-the-scenes gifts. They're gifts done more in a private manner. And because God doesn't distribute gifts equally and that we don't all get the same gifts, there is a couple temptations involved in that. Temptation number one is that we can start to take pride in the gifts that we have received from God. And we can start literally to think that they're really not gifts of grace. Instead, these are things that I have earned, things that I have worked hard to perfect. These are things that I have used discipline to be able to be good at. And so I'm good at these things because I have done it because of me. And then we start to think, well, because I'm gifted in these areas, I must be pretty important. And I probably need to have say in a lot of things within the church, and I need to be in charge of certain ministry areas because I'm gifted. And I just must be very important to the church because of all of the gifts that I have. Well, the second temptation is kind of the opposite of that, is that we start to look down on people who aren't gifted the same way we are. And so we look at someone else and we say, well, you know, they don't have the same gifts that I do, or they don't have as many gifts as I do. And they just must not be as good of a Christian as I am. They must not be as faithful to the Lord as I am because I'm really gifted. I'm very important to the church, and they must not be very important to the church because look at where their gifts are, and those gifts aren't very important. And the reason why we can start to think that way is because that's the way our culture thinks. Our culture wants to rank people according to their skill, according to their merit, and according to their status. And so all the time we see within our news that here are the people who are really important because look at their gifts or look at their skills or look at their talents. They're really important, and our country will not survive without these people. And these other people, well, they're just ordinary. Yeah, they're good at some things, but they're just ordinary. And we want to bring that idea within the church and say, here are the people that are really important. We need to listen to them. We need to let them lead. We need to let them do everything because they are very, very important. Look at all their gifts. And the others, maybe they're not that important. And Paul says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. When we talk about gifts, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Why, Paul? Because gifts are given in grace. Every gift that we have was given out of grace. And when someone gives you something out of grace, you can't take credit for it. ever so often in the church office, we'll have a few leftover flowers, maybe from a luncheon or just from the week. And Cindy's really good about this. She'll say, "Steve, why don't you take some of these flowers home to Lindsay?" And so, as a good husband, I'll do that. And I'll take those flowers home, and she will appreciate those flowers, and she'll put them in a vase, and she'll smile. But I do not get credit for bringing flowers home to my wife. Why? Because they were a gift. Cindy gave them to me out of grace, and I've passed them along to Lindsay. Now, sometimes I try to get credit for bringing those flowers home, but that doesn't work out too well. You can't take credit for what's been given to you as a gift of grace. You can't take credit for that. And as Paul begins this topic of spiritual gifts, that's the first thing that he wants us to understand, that when God gives you a gift, the first step in using that gift well is having a humble spirit. And remember, you don't get to take credit for it because it was a gift of grace. And that humble spirit leads to a second insight, which is contentment. Contentment. Look at what Paul says, continuing on in verse 4. He says, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us." I think what Paul is saying in that last verse when he says we've got different gifts is he's relaying reality, which is a little bit brutal for some of us. And here's what he's relaying. He's saying we are not all good at everything. Did you know that? You're not good at everything. Now, as we want to be good at everything. As parents, we want our kids to be good at everything, right? We want our kids to be good in the classroom and to be popular with their friends and to be best at chorus and best at band and a great athlete. We want them to do well in all their extracurricular activities. We want them to be the leader in the youth group and have a passionate faith for Jesus. We want to be good at everything. And parents, your kid isn't good at everything. It's just not. We have different gifts. And when we try to make and push our children to be good at everything, you know what often gets left behind? Their faith in Jesus. And Paul is reminding us we all have different gifts. We're not all good at everything. We're not all five talent people. Did you know that? John, last week in his Bible class, talked about the parable of the talents from Matthew 25, story of a master who had three servants, gives one servant five talents, gives another servant two talents, gives third servant one talent. The five-talent man uses his talents, gains five more. The two-talent man uses his talents, gains two more. The one-talent man doesn't use his talent, buries his talent, and because of that, when the master comes home, he punishes that one-talent man. And normally we focus on that one-talent man and how we shouldn't be that way. We should use our talents, don't bury them. But I want to focus on the two-talent man. I like the two-talent guy, don't you? Because he could have really had a bad attitude. He could have said, "Hey, that ain't fair. Why didn't I get five? Why did I only get two? That's not fair." And then he uses his talents and he gets two more. "Why don't I only get five more? I only get two more." And then we learn at the end of the story that the five-talent man, because he does so well and gets five talents more, they take the one talent that was buried and they give it to him. And the two-talent guy should say, "Hey, that's not fair. Give that one to me. He's already got 10. I only got four." But he doesn't do that. The two-talent man is content with what his master has given him. And I think that's one thing Paul is suggesting to us. God's going to give us gifts, and we need to learn to be content with what God has given us. Whatever that gift may be, whether it's something we want or something we don't want, we are to be content with what God has given us. And there's a temptation to start to become envious or to become jealous. And we learn here, we all got different gifts. Instead of griping, complaining about things and wishing that we had that other gift. There are so many churches that have been destroyed because there are certain people that wish they were gifted in a certain area. And so they lead that area and they lead that ministry. And it does damage because that's not where they're gifted. And it takes a little bit of contentment and judgment to say, you know what, that is not my area. That is not where I need to be leading. That's not where I need to be taking up the charge because I'm not gifted there. There's someone else that can do that. I need to be content with what God has given me. Now, that's not a cop-out. That's not an excuse. You can't say, well, I'm not going to do evangelism because I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's not what Paul is saying. He's talking about boundaries. He's talking about limits. He's saying we all have a limit. Not all of us are going to be good at teaching. Not all of us are going to be good at showing mercy to those in need. Not all of us are going to be good at encouragement. Not all of us are going to be good at leadership. Not all of us are going to be good at evangelism. Now, that's not a reason to gripe and complain and whine and say, why don't I get that gift? Why don't I get five? Why don't I only get two? No, that's a reason to be thankful. To be thankful that we serve a God who blesses His church with a multiplicity of gifts. So where I am weak, there's going to be someone else in the church who's strong. And where that person is weak, maybe that's an area where I am strong. And we can work together because we all have different gifts. And as we're content with what God has given us, and as we use it well, we build up the body and we further the mission of God. A humble spirit leads to an attitude of contentment. And an attitude of contentment leads to a third step, which is being willing to be faithful with what God has given. Notice what Paul says as we continue on. He says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouragement, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I think what Paul is emphasizing here is this idea. I am not responsible for what I have not been given. I'm not responsible to raise your children. Praise the Lord. Because I haven't been given them. They haven't been given to me. I'm not responsible to steward millions of dollars. They haven't been given to me. Now, if you want to give that to me, I'll take up that responsibility. It hasn't been given to me. I'm not responsible to lead or govern our city. I'm not responsible to lead and govern our school system or some other institution. It hasn't been given to me. I'm not responsible for something that hasn't been given to me. I am responsible for what God has given me. I am responsible for that. Whatever that gift is, even if it's an umbrella, I'm responsible for that. And what it means to be responsible is what Paul is saying here. If you have a gift, you're responsible to use that gift, to be faithful with that gift. That's a part of our calling. And that's not always easy. Just because you have a gift in something doesn't mean it's always going to come easy and natural for you. Just because you have the gift of teaching doesn't mean you can stand up in front of a class and just say whatever comes to your mind. Just because you have the gift of serving doesn't mean that you're going to love serving all the time and always be in a joyful mood and whistle while you work as you serve. That doesn't mean that's the case. When God gives us a gift, we're still going to have to work at it. If God's given us the gift of teaching, we're going to have to spend time studying God's Word and thinking through the concepts of God's Word and figuring out how to teach those concepts in an effective manner. If God has given us the gift of serving, there's going to be days where we don't want to serve. And when we're not in the mood to help other people, but we still have to be faithful with the gift God has given us. Faithful with the calling that He has placed on our life. Faithful with the ministry that He has pointed us towards. That's what we're to be. We're to be faithful. And I think here's where our gift analogy breaks down a little bit. Because if I come to your house and I give you a bad gift, I give you an umbrella, let's say, here's probably what you're going to do. You're going to paste a smile on your face, say, oh, thanks, Steve, really appreciate that, it's really nice. And then when you close the door, you're going to stick that in the garage, closet. It'll be there for a year, and then eventually you'll sell it on Craigslist or something like that, make a little money off of it. That's probably what you'll do. And no big deal. My feelings aren't hurt. Sometimes we just miss when we give gifts. We try our best, and we just miss, and we fall short. And we all understand that. We understand the heart. We understand the intention. No big deal. We stuff it in the closet. We sell it. We move on. Not so with God's gifts. When God gives us a gift, He doesn't give bad gifts. And it may not be the gift we want. It may not be the calling that we feel like we should have. But when God gives us a gift, our job is not to determine whether it's a good gift or a bad gift. Our job is to be faithful with what God has given us. To be faithful. Whatever the gift is, to be faithful with it. To be responsible with it. And to use it for His glory. If it's the gift of teaching, to be faithful to that gift of teaching. If it's the gift of service, to be faithful with that gift of service. If it's the gift of evangelism, be faithful with that gift of evangelism. If God has blessed you with money, to be faithful with that money. If God has blessed you with a great opportunity to proclaim His name, to be faithful with that opportunity. Whatever it is that God has given you, our job is not to complain or whine or gripe or say that's a good gift or a bad gift. Our job is to be faithful. And when we have a humble spirit that leads to a contentment attitude, an attitude of contentment, that causes us and propels us to want to be faithful with whatever it is that God has given us. And I just imagine that there are about three different types of people here this morning when you talk about spiritual gifts. Number one, there's probably some of you here this morning that you've never really heard much about spiritual gifts, never heard much about gifts of grace. This is new information for you. Or maybe you're new here at Southside and you're just still trying to figure out your way around this church and how you can be a servant here. And if that's where you are this morning, my prayer for you is that today will be a day of discovery. Today will be a day where you discover God has given you gifts and you're called to be faithful and to use those gifts well, whatever that may mean here at our church or within the world. But secondly, there are some of us here that we've heard spiritual gift stuff before. We've heard a little bit about what it means to receive gifts from God. We've been at Southside for a little while, maybe for a few years, but we just haven't found our place. We haven't found our niche. We haven't found that ministry where we can use our gifts to bring glory to God. And if that's where you are, then my prayer this morning for you is engagement. Is that this morning you'll make a commitment. I'm not going to just sit on a pew. I'm not just going to just be self-focused anymore. I'm going to use faithfully the gifts God has given me for His glory and to further His mission in the world. I'm going to get engaged in ministry. And then third, there are some of us here that we've heard about spiritual gifts. We've thought about our giftedness. We're trying to use our giftedness in the most faithful way we know how. But maybe God has been tugging at your heart last week and this week saying, there's more. There's more you could do. There's more ways in which you could use these gifts. There are other gifts maybe that you aren't using very well, and you can be using those gifts. And maybe God's tugging at your heart. And if that's where you are, my prayer this morning for you is a prayer of discernment. That God would help you to discern, am I using the gifts that God has given me in the most faithful way possible? Because when the master comes home, what I want the master to say to me is, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Thank you. That's what we want. And whichever area you're in, discovery, engagement, or discernment, you might need some help. You might need to sit down with someone and just say, you know, help me process through this. Help me discover what my gifts are. Help me to find that ministry that I can get engaged in. Help me to be discerning about whether I'm using my gifts in the best way possible. And let me just offer myself or John or Matthew or Dan or the elders or someone on the involvement team, if you need a gift coach, we are here for you. And if you need to make an appointment or if you need to grab me in the hallway and we chat for about 10 or 15 minutes or 30 minutes and say, Steve, help me think through this because I want to make sure that I am opening up the gift that God has given me and I'm using it as faithfully as I can, I'd be more than happy to have that conversation with you. Because we want to be a church where every single person here is ripping off that paper, tearing off the bow, taking what's inside and using it faithfully for God's glory and His mission. We want to be that kind of church. And however we can help you do that, we want to do that. Our elders are going to surround this auditorium now, and we're going to have our time of response and invitation. And I want to encourage you, if God has been tugging at your heart, then maybe you need to walk to one of our elders and just ask them to pray, pray for you. And let me just say this. Let me just take a moment and say this. Here at Southside, to walk to an elder is not a shameful thing. Maybe that was shameful at another church that you used to go to, but it's not shameful here. We all have peaks and we all have valleys in our spiritual life, and we all have times where we just need someone to pray over us, and that's why our shepherds are here to do that. And so don't feel like if you need someone to pray with you and pray for you that someone's going to be talking about you behind your back or asking questions about you. That's not going to happen here, at least it shouldn't. And so let me encourage you, if God has been tugging at your heart in one of these three areas, maybe you need to walk to an elder this morning and say, pray for me that I can discover my gifts, or pray for me that I can get engaged in ministry, or pray for me that I can discern how to faithfully use the gifts that God has given me. We want to help you do that. And feel free to walk to a shepherd or minister and they'll pray with you. Or maybe you're ready to become a Christian, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ. We'd love to welcome you to God's family. If you're ready to do that, just come to the front. Let's stand and let's sing at this time.